Hey everybody, before we get started, I just want to do a quick little intro this time. We had one person, Tim, write in to tell us his take on Drops of Jupiter, and he proposed that it was about Pat Monahan's ex-wife who needed to get away and take a quote-unquote soul vacation and try all the newest, latest fads. I gotta say, this would explain so much about the song, but unfortunately, Pat Monahan has come out and said that it is about his mother or grandmother, and so therefore, the song still sucks. All right, and with that, let's get on with the show.
I have absolutely no idea how I'm going to make it through this episode without saying something just like filthy and horrible and just absolutely disgusting. All right, everybody, welcome once again to another episode of Decomposition. My name is Brad, and with me, as always, is Katie. Katie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well.
You're doing well. Mm-hmm. I am freshly showered, ready to cast, as
and
it were.
I'm still sweaty from yoga. You're no shower today.
Disgusting slobbo. That is not true. Katie, we have neglected lady songs.
We have.
Through the duration of our podcasting here for the past many, many weeks. And so I am glad to say that today is our first real attempt to take down some lady singers.
I know. I kind of feel bad about it. Like I should stick up for the ladies, but...
You can do that literally any other time. When it comes to just garbage music, I feel like we have a responsibility to all people.
Okay, I'm in. I'm ready.
And with that, let me introduce this song, Katie. This was your choice of the ones we had on the list. The 2014 hit number one in five countries, five-time platinum, 3.2 million copies sold by Ariana Grande, Jessie J, and Nicki Minaj, "Bang Bang."
And I love it. Actually, I really well. I don't know.
I
want to walk back from that.
I think you would love it more if you didn't speak English.
Yeah.
I think if this was just some song that you couldn't comprehend.
I love it and hate it and don't want to like it at all at the same time.
I have nothing but disdain for this terrible song. Like, I get... it is one of those songs that I will turn up and be like, you have to hear how bad this song is.
No, it's so like, fun, though, when you're not... really thinking about what they're saying. It's so much fun. I just want to like turn it up and sing along. And then I start singing along and I'm like, oh no.
Boy, oh boy.
I've been tricked.
Speaking of what they're saying, do you have the lyrics with
yeah.
you?
Yeah,
would
oh, yeah,
you,
I have the lyrics.
Would you get into this chorus for me?
Do you want to say what's in parentheses?
Okay, yeah, I'll do parentheses. Yeah, absolutely. I'm on board.
All right. Bang bang into the room.
I know you want it.
Bang bang all over you.
I'll let ya have it.
Wait a minute, let me take you there. Wait a minute till ya. Bang bang, there goes your heart.
I know ya want it.
Back seat of my car.
I'll let ya have it.
Wait a minute, let me take you there. Wait a minute till ya.
Okay. All right. Can you tell me like what this song is about? Can you like summarize what the three amigas are trying to say in this song?
They're trying to say,
yeah, I read that in parentheses.
How dare you? No, obviously it's like, I'm really having a hard time. I know exactly what it's trying to say, but I'm having a hard time putting it into polite words.
Just speak from your heart.
There are three ladies saying we can give it to you in the bedroom or in the backseat of the car. Actually, we know you want us, and we're into it. Or at least you can give it a shot.
That's what the chorus is saying,
right?
Sure. The verse, I get a distinctly different message
Do you?
A slightly different message.
I don't think it's that different.
Well, in the...
Well, wait. Do you want to talk about the chorus or you want to skip to the verse already?
Well, let's talk about the chorus. Let's stay into the chorus. Let me tell you what Jesse J had to say about this song. Because she has said that this is a feminist anthem.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a quote from, I believe this was Rolling Stone magazine. Quote, "I'm not going to rival what she has, but I've got what I've got. That's what I feel young women especially need to hear."
I see that in like parts of the song where she's talking about like what other girls look like. And then she's saying, but I'm pretty badass as well. And I got some things to offer. So I get it.
It sounds like, to a degree, like a lady begging for it.
I don't think it sounds like a lady begging for it at all. I'm going to have to go ahead and completely disagree with you there. It's the words in the song are all about like a women saying, you're interested in us and we're saying, okay, like the door is open for you to try to make a move. But I think it's much more about them being in control of the situation. Like, you can only make a move because I'm inviting you to.
You are my disco stick. That's what this song is saying to me. We get gaga'd there. I need you to give me some perspective here. Is it feminist? Is this song feminist?
I don't really want to get into that too much.
No?
I don't want to touch that because, I mean, the definition of feminism is so broad.
Yeah.
And, I mean, in part, the song is talking about...
We want it too.
Well, yeah, like, there's plenty of stuff out there about men going after girls. This is about, like, women talking about their sexuality and all that stuff.
Can I tell you the interesting thing when you say women talking about their sexuality?
Mm-hmm.
You know who wrote this?
I know a man wrote it.
Three men wrote this.
Three men.
And Nicki Minaj.
But then Jessie J in that same Rolling Stone article talked about how she rewrote parts of the song to make it like more her style as well.
I didn't find her name on the songwriting credit.
She might not actually be credited as a writer, but when what's his name? Max something or other?
Max Martin.
When I guess he's a music producer.
He's a big time music
I don't know
writer,
about these
songwriter, producer. I have interesting factoids about him for later.
So, okay. She did say like when this is again from that Rolling Stone article. She said when Max gave me the song, I took it home and I rewrote and reworked some parts of it to make it feel more my own.
So should we get into the first verse?
Are we not going to talk about the fact that the chorus says bang, bang all over you?
Okay.
Or do you not want to do that right now?
I think that's like a summary of the entire, what I will say is a piece. Jesse J, again, when being interviewed for Spin magazine, is talking about the phrase bang, bang. And it's like, I don't think she gets what that means in like modern slang for whatever reason or she's trying to deflect in some way. She says, bang, bang basically represents what I did back in the day when we were little. Like bang, bang, pour me a beer. What the hell does that mean? Any idea what that means?
I think that's definitely a deflection from the connotation of
bang, 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 pour me a beer. I'm going to say that to bartenders from now on. Like, seriously. Bang, bang, pour me a beer. And then she goes on to say, it doesn't really mean anything in particular. I would say she's incorrect. It's just a very in-your-face, catchy phrase, like stomp, stomp, or pow, pow. I don't buy that.
I don't buy that at all.
I don't buy
all.
That like, for
there's
a split
no
second.
Way these three women have a song where the chorus is I'm going to bang bang all over you. And it's clearly about like meeting people. The chorus also says bang bang there goes your heart back seat of my car. Like between bang bang and back seat of the car, we're definitely talking about getting it on.
The
here.
Entire song is just loaded with innuendo, which I don't have a problem with because some of it is very like clever. Oh, animal fight. Hang on. Let's pause. Animal fight. Yep. 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 This is going well. Sit. Hey, enough. I'm going to leave that in. I don't care. Animal fights. Surefire Entertainment.
Brad, I think you should think twice about what you just said.
Well, there was no actual, like, fight. It was more of an animal argument.
It was just our cat and dog having a small debate. There's no animal fighting going on at our house.
I'm going to get back to the song now that this has settled down.
You were saying that there's innuendo all through the song, which I have no problem with.
I have no problem with. And it's like, I do find some of the innuendo actually like kind of clever, like well-written simile metaphor kind of writing.
Ooh, look who's getting on board.
Dang, boo. Look at me. Look at me getting on board. Knowing what a simile and a metaphor
no,
is.
No, I meant like you're liking the song a little bit. No, you're complimenting it.
That is closest thing to a compliment I will give this song. But I think my real problem is like when this kind of like heavily sexualized metaphor is in a pop song, like especially a pop song that is aimed at like preteen and teenage girls. That's where I get super weirded out by it.
Mm.
That is where I just automatically shut down to any enjoyment of the song.
Right.
And honestly, if this were aimed at boys, I would likewise feel like these are children.
You just
like,
find it a little creepy when...
I mean, you don't need to go all like twinkle, twinkle, little star when you're writing songs directed at children, but like... have a little decency, I guess, is really adult males, guys who have been writing hit songs for 25, 30 years.
Right.
Like they used to write with like Backstreet Boys and like John Bon Jovi, all of these guys, with the exception of Nicki Minaj.
So you're especially creeped out by the fact that it's really not three young women, but three middle-aged men who wrote a song targeted
right.
at
like, yeah.
13-year-old girls.
Absolutely.
All right, fair point.
Like,
fair
I'm grossed
point.
Out by this song.
Yeah.
I think is ultimately what it is I am grossed out by this song.
Because you don't want to think about the young audience that's listening to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, absolutely. I was all likewise grossed out by Genie in a Bottle, You Gotta Rub Me the Right Way, when I was that age.
Yeah.
You know, when I, like, and I am roundabouts the same age as Christina Aguilera.
Right.
And I still found that, like, just... off-putting. Like, I, like, you know, I don't know. So do you mind if I just go ahead and start reading the first verse now?
No, get into it.
It's not, I think the chorus is actually longer than the verse.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to handle the parentheticals on this one?
Sure.
Much like we handled the chorus? Oh, I'm going to feel weird reading this. All right. She got a body like an hourglass, but I can give it to you all the time. She got a booty like a Cadillac, but I can send you into overdrive.
Oh, you've been waiting for that step up. No.
Reading.
Well, it's weird. You've been waiting for that. Step on up, swing your bat.
See, anybody could be bad to you. You need a good girl to blow your mind. Yeah. Like...
All right, there are parts of this that I'm fine with and parts of it that I have a real problem
Absolutely.
With.
Three middle-aged men writing some of these lyrics for young women I have a real problem with.
Like Jessie J is a tall, slim lady.
Right.
The first two lines make perfect sense, right? She's
sure.
saying she over there has a body like an hourglass, which maybe is like a more...
idealized.
Like, quote-unquote, appealing...
Right.
Physique. And she's saying, like, I don't care that she's got a body like an hourglass because I've got something to give
All the time.
Like, good for her. She's got a lot of energy. She's got a booty like a Cadillac. Like, that's fine. It's kind of a silly simile. Like, does a Cadillac have a big trunk?
Well, I think that's the insinuation, yeah.
I don't know enough about cars.
You know, cars have trunks, though, right? You understand that cars have trunks.
I know Cadillacs are like, typically really big cars. So yeah. I was like, okay, I could get into like, it must have a big trunk, booty like a Cadillac. I'm in. I can send you to overdrive, like continuing the driving metaphor there. Like she's got a big booty, but I got lots of energy.
Overdrive. I can send you into overdrive.
And the part that I really have the big problem with is all the good girl, bad girl business. You know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
And I'm not a fan.
Sure. Step on up, swing your bat. What do you think of that line?
I think, well, there's a could be a little like double entendre there. That's
that is
fun.
Absolutely what that is, yeah.
And I feel like using car metaphors and similes and like baseball references is just kind of like typical. That's right. Sort of
you're not breaking any barriers.
Right. You know? It's not really new or original, but it works. It's fun. So I'm fine with it. And I kind of like it. That makes me laugh. The swing your bat.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, you know, some of these comparisons are like they're clever in a way, you know.
Yeah,
like
for sure.
Hourglass followed up by I Give It to You All the Time, you know, that's funny. Like
Cadillac Overdrive,
like, yeah, absolutely.
There's a pattern, there's a thought process there.
But the phrase "blow your mind" is in so many songs, and I don't know how anybody could listen to that without having like the image of, well, I think it goes without saying, like, I'm going to do this to you. I'm going to blow your mind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to blow your mind. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't understand why in this verse it's anybody could be bad to you. You need a good girl to blow your mind. And then in the other two verses, it's reversed. It's like anybody could be good to you. You need a bad girl to blow your mind.
I'm pretty willing to bet that they just didn't think too much about this.
Or did they
forget
that they
just wanted to load this song
with
sexual innuendo? Like, and here's the other thing about, like, the female empowerment issue. Like, doesn't it sound to you, and correct me if I'm wrong if you have a different take on this, because I'll never know unless I'm taught here, but doesn't it seem like they're still submitting to the men?
I don't necessarily think it sounds like they're still submitting to the men. My issue...
But, like, the most important thing to them is the men. Like, that is what makes them...
Well, that's because this is a song about, like...
What is our cat?
I just
have a fascination
caught
with
the cat in my arms.
Only when we're recording.
No, I mean, I think this particular song is about like meeting somebody and getting it on. So it's not like they're just obsessed with men all the time. It's just the subject of this song. I don't really have a problem with that. Maybe they have another song about like rainbows or something. I don't know.
I would love to hear the three of them. I'm sure Nicki Minaj has songs about rainbows. I've seen her dress. Like,
yeah, she likes a colorful outfit.
Sure.
So that's really my issue. When it comes to Jessie J talking about it as a female empowerment song, and then we have like still the division of women into good girls and bad girls, that's where I'm like, this is lame. Like, it's not really empowering. First of all, we should be talking about grown-ass women here because of the subject of the song, not girls. So I hate this idea of, like, calling women girls all the time.
Sure.
And then why do we have to be either good, which really good is, like...
Maybe that's one thing, like, backtrack to... backtrack to the girls and boys. The constant use of girls and boys, as if you don't mature and turn into an adult human. Maybe that's part of what makes me feel uneasy about this is like the girls and boys banging into the room. Like, it's just,
that's a little creepy. Yeah. It really is a little creepy. And whenever you're talking about good girls and bad girls, you're talking about girls who either are like too prudish or girls who are not prudish at all. That was the most polite way I could possibly say
sure,
that.
Sure, absolutely.
Proud of myself.
In the back seat of their car.
Right.
I'm sure that they only had like learner's permits. You got somebody accompanying them the entire time.
Yeah, it's the back seat of the car because your parents are driving you around.
You two keep it down back there.
But I'm not judging. I'm not judging any of the sexual stuff in the song. If that's what those ladies want to do, that's their business.
Sure.
But like, the way that it's presented is annoying at times.
It's like marketing. Marketing bugs me about, like, marketing always bugs me about this stuff, you know? Like, anyway.
Well, that kind of brings you to the next little verse there, Brad, if you're feeling like it's too directed at kids at school.
Yeah. Oh, God. This is where it just this is like, send you to hell kind of lyrics right here. She might have let you hold her hand in school, but I'ma show you how to graduate. No, I don't need to hear you talk the talk. Oh, just come and show me what your mama gave.
Oh, yeah.
That is... You've got to read the parenthetic.
Okay, you've got a very big shh mouth, but don't say a thing. That doesn't make sense. See, anybody could be good to you. You need a bad girl to blow your mind.
I think when you sing it without that, like there's somebody clearly hit enter after shh, but it's okay. You've got a very big mouth, but don't say a thing. I think that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like,
oh, shh is not being used as an adjective, which yeah, is how I read it.
Doubly entendring.
Mm-hmm.
I am now legit uncomfortable.
Brad is out of his depth.
I need to shower again. I was freshly showered at the beginning of this podcast.
It's because of the like the schoolgirl references there.
You need a bad girl to blow your mind. That like
you just don't shake what your mama gave you. It's not doing it for you here.
Come and show me what your mama gave. Oh boy.
I think that's
what do you
it.
Think they're talking about there, Katie? What do you think your mama gave?
Like love, mm-hmm. hugs, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. cuddles.
A lot of emotional support.
Bedtime stories.
That's absolutely.
Why it's, shh. Because we're about to read sick. A bedtime story.
Oh boy. This is more of a nocturnal story. Nailed it. High five to me. Got it.
That was Brad high-fiving himself.
No, it wasn't. I was high-fiving
not
you
participate
very
in the
loudly
high-five.
And excellent. Two of them. Nailed
it's
it.
It's not me. I'm not high-fiving.
Gross. Then we move into...
He can't even talk about it. He basically has to just skip this verse because he's so uncomfortable.
You know what the thing is? Like, I feel more at ease when I can just, like, continue to make, like, horrible, gross references. And it's just, in this context, I cannot. Like, I have to...
I'm sorry. It's my fault. I like to keep it clean.
Oh, man. I want to give this, like, a R rating and just, like... say all the gross things because otherwise they're just bottled up inside of me and I can't like break the weird.
Well, say
tension.
Like one gross thing and then if we have to cut it out, we'll cut it
That's
out.
That's gonna have to wait till we get to Nicki Minaj's part.
Okay.
Which is the worst part of the song. Well, Nicki Minaj, I can't stand her. Like, cannot stand her one bit.
You're
like,
not a fan.
Not in the least bit. There is not one thing I can think of about Nicki Minaj that I like.
Okay. And do you want to go to the rap?
The rap is nonsense. The rap does not, like, there are bits in the rap. I can't even read this appropriately. Like,
well, I want to look at the first line of the rap.
Oh, my God.
Do you know what that is?
Yes, absolutely. Read it.
It's Mix Moscato.
It's Friends in the Bottle. It's Nicki Full Throttle. You know how much time I spent looking up, like, the Mix Moscato website?
Really?
Like, it's, yeah. Mix Moscato seems like the grossest thing on the planet, by the way. Like, mm-hmm. fruit-flavored, individual-serving Moscato.
But let's tell the people while we're focusing on it, Brad.
Go for it.
Well, it's her brand of Moscato.
She's one of the owners.
So, basically, she started her part of the song as a commercial for her own product.
Absolutely. It's like if Ariana Grande started her verse by promoting like her old Nickelodeon TV shows. Sam and Cat, where you at? Like, I don't know.
Catch me on Nick Jr.
Yeah, exactly.
Now I'm all grown up.
It's Mix Moscato. It's Friends in the Bottle. It's Nicki Full Throttle. It's all, swimming in the grotto. We winning in the lotto. We dipping in the pot of blue photo. Kidding so good, this dripping on wood.
Take a breath.
Get a ride in the engine that could. Batman Robin, it bang bang cocking it. Queen Nicki dominate, promenade. It's me, Jesse, and Ari. If they test me, they sorry. Riders oomph like Harley. Then pull off in this Ferrari. If he hangin', we bangin'. Phone rangin', he slangin'. That is...
That part I don't.
It ain't karaoke night, but get the mic because I'm singing. B to the A to the N to the G. Baby. B to the A to the N to the G to the hey. See, anybody could be good to you. You need a bad girl to blow your mind.
Your mind.
Where do you even begin with all of this grossness?
I don't know what... It means when it says we dipping in the pot of blue photo. Is that like a reference I should have looked up?
Yeah, probably. I don't know. I mean, I'm not good with young person slang. Even though Nicki Minaj is like a year younger than me, she's not like...
She's the same age as me.
Yeah.
She's cooler than I am. She knows what to say.
Or is she just like making stuff up?
Also possible.
In the pot of blue photo? I don't know.
I have just no idea what that means at all.
Kidding so good.
This is the part that's really problematic.
This dripping on wood. Batman Robin it, bang bang cocking it.
Like, what does it mean to Batman Robin it? What do you think? Well, you I think comic books?
I think
a team?
First, no, I think it's more of a reference to the bang bang because of the old TV show.
Oh, like an Adam West illusion.
Exactly.
I could kind of get on board with that.
Can you start talking about this?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the stripping on wood is just disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, that's gross, but it kind of is, like, sandwiched there in the middle of other nonsense, so...
Right. She's fast. I'll give her that.
Yeah, she is.
She can race through this verse in about 15 seconds.
Yeah, I had to read it.
Yeah.
Like, along with listening to her to catch everything. But, okay, so I want to come back to Jessie J saying the bang bang doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Well, obviously Nicki Minaj doesn't agree because she says, if he hangin', we bangin'. And I'm sorry.
Doesn't mean anything like stomp, stomp, or pow, pow.
I think if it says, if he hangin', we bangin', she doesn't mean like bang bang, get me a beer or whatever
right.
Jessie J was talking about.
Yeah.
And that's fine, Nicki. That is your biz. Like, if he wants to hang out and you want to take it to the next level, you go on ahead. But then let's not pretend that the song's about something else.
Queen Nicki, dominate, promenade. What does that mean? Do you have any idea what promenade means?
Is this like a pompetus of love situation?
Failing at pompetus of love situation?
I mean, something
is
like, can be prominent.
But it's promenade.
But this says promenade.
Should
I look it up?
Yeah, see if you can do that. I'm going to sit here and talk about swimming in the grotto, we winning in the lotto. I don't think that, like, these are just, like, rhymes that she had sitting around that she just threw into this song. Like, swimming in the grotto, that's a reference to, I think, the Playboy Mansion.
Sounds like
and
it.
The grotto there. We winning in the lotto.
We are so lucky in life right now. I guess.
What does kidding so good mean?
I have no idea.
Yeah. Have you found something on promenade?
So when you Google promenade, it says showing results for prominent. Did you mean prominent?
Oh, so you're telling me that Nicki Minaj doesn't have a real strong grasp of the English language and vocabulary?
I bet you she does. I'm not going to get into insulting Nicki's intelligence. I just think promenade rhymed with dominate.
So Nicki Minaj went to LaGuardia High School in New York, which
is the fame high school.
Yeah, absolutely. At the time, she worked as a waitress at the Red Lobster in the Bronx, and she was fired for, and this is a quote, discourtesy to customers. And then she went on to say that she was fired from, quote, at least 15 other jobs for similar reasons.
And no one could see the facial expression I just made.
Amazing. Like, how bad are you to customers?
Wasn't what she wanted to do,
so she took it out on people who just wanted to have a nice lobster dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Beyonce and Jay-Z walk into the Red Lobster, and what does Nicki do?
She's not a good waitress.
Oh, man. It's me, Jesse, and Ari. If they test me, they sorry.
Who are they?
I don't know. I thought maybe she was referring to Jesse and Ari for a split second, but it's like, why would you
Where's the camaraderie then?
Yeah, come on. Come on, ladies. This is a female empowerment song, according to Jesse J. It ain't karaoke night, but get me the mic because I'm singing. B to the A to the N to the G. It's friends in the bottle, it's Nicki full throttle, it's swimming in the grotto, we win it in the lotto, we dipping in the pot of blue flow. So it's so good, it's dripping on wood, get a ride in the engine that could go. Me and Robin it, bang bang cocking it, Queen Nicki dominant, prominent. It's me, Jesse and Ari. If they test me, they sorry. Riders up like a Harley, then pull off in this Ferrari. If we hanging, we banging. Phone ringing, he slanging. So, all right, the rest of the song is just chorus repeated. Pretty typical of pop songs.
Yeah.
You know?
They diva it up every once in a while. They're excellent singers. They sound great.
Absolutely. I do like both Jessie J and Ariana Grande's voice.
Yeah.
There was a weird thing I saw. It was a YouTube video of Ariana Grande and Miley Cyrus doing a cover of Don't Dream It's Over.
Oh my gosh, it's so good. It is really good. It's awesome.
I mean, they're like those weird animal onesie pajamas, yeah. But they're singing. Like, you got to give those girls credit. They might not necessarily have the most, like, well-written lyrics from time to time, but, like, those girls can sing.
Yeah. You know? We were watching that video of these three ladies performing this song, and yeah. Jessie J was slaying it. I mean, her voice is incredible. Domino is a crazy hard song to sing. I think they're super talented. I just don't love this song.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I wish they didn't have just people who were hired to just, like, just shit out a terrible song and then give it to them. Like, it's remarkable. It's like you have to knock out three songs a day, and so here's this garbage.
Or maybe you said it best earlier, and this kind of cracks the problem with the song. Maybe a song like this would be better if it wasn't written talking about boys and girls with all these, yeah, like, school references.
If you just change, like, creepy, boy and girl to, like, men and women, I think it would... Mm-hmm. Have a better effect to it. So
then you could bang bang as much as you want.
They could smush. Interesting little factoid about Jessie J.
Uh-huh.
She graduated from the Brit School, which is basically a performing arts school, in 2006 with, can you guess? Can you guess who graduated with
in
her?
In 2006. Male or female?
Female.
I have no idea.
Adele.
Oh, I was going to guess Adele, and then I backed off.
You backed off. You were weak.
I was weak. I didn't want to be wrong. I didn't commit.
And her stage name is Jessie J. I forget what her real last name is. But she said, quote, "To be honest, there's no real reason for the J in my name."
It's just fun.
Yeah, I guess it's like any other, like, stage name that people, yeah, take on. They're just like...
It's catchy.
These three ladies had not met prior to the video shoot. They each recorded their tracks individually across the globe. Then they got produced together, and then when it came time to shoot the video, that's where the three of them met for the first time. So I think that's another kind of way to suck the creativity out of modern music, is really like, hey, I wrote this song. I'm going to email it to three people. You guys just make up a verse and then...
Right, it's like too manufactured rather than like three people in the space at the same time, like vibing on it, being creative, making adjustments and changes.
I think part, yeah, of it, like, it takes away from like the art and the expression of it. That, right, sounds douchey when I say,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it did.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, it
way
did.
To go, me. Way to douche it up right there.
At least you admitted it right away.
Yeah, as soon as it left my mouth, I knew exactly what I was saying. But so, like I said before, this was written by four songwriters, two of whose names I can't really pronounce too well, but one of whom was Nicki Minaj. She gets credit for the rap in the last bit. Max Martin, Rickard Goranson, and Savan Koteca. I don't know. Koteca. So Max Martin, who we were talking about before, he has the third most number one singles of all time.
Wow.
Behind... Do you want to guess who he's behind?
I don't want to do guessing.
Oh, boy. Okay. John Lennon, Paul McCartney. They are, whoa, the only two people that have more number one singles than Max Martin.
Wow.
So, song ended up getting released as a single on both Jessie J and Ariana Grande's album. Jessie J, certified silver, 60,000 copies sold, and it was her highest U.S. charting album to date, despite selling less than her other albums.
How is that possible?
I don't know, but it must just be like global sales versus U.S. sales.
Got it.
Ariana Grande ended up selling 692,000 copies of this.
Wow.
So isn't that astonishing right there? So
I feel bad for Jessie J then, because she sold a whole lot less of the song that originally started as her song.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's... I bet that kind of stings, but... Do you think that, like, she gets some of the profits from the Ariana Grande album, or is it just hers?
I'm not prepared to speculate.
No, neither am I.
I don't know enough about it.
Sorry.
Well, I feel like, you know, we're coming to the end of our chat about Bang Bang. And I gotta say, I would listen to it with the windows rolled down.
I would lock somebody in a car and turn the volume way up and say, I'll be back in 3.5 minutes.
Like, despite whatever problems I have with the lyrics, I definitely, definitely would leave this song on anytime it came on. If we were out somewhere, if we were out at like a bar or something and the song came on, I'd want to get up and dance or sing along. I'm on board.
I would have to have a lot of drinks in order to be on board for this. I would have to be right up at that bar saying, bang, bang, pour me a beer. Bang, bang, pour me another beer. Bang, bang, pour me another beer. Swing that bat.
Bartender.
This song was originally written for Ariana Grande, who hated it.
I thought it was originally for Jessie J.
It was originally for Ariana Grande, who hated it. And evidently, this is according to the world's most reliable source, Wikipedia.
Okay.
It wasn't until she heard the Jessie J and Nicki Minaj, Minaj verses that she said, I want it back. Mm-hmm. So then she basically released it as a single on her album, or it was released on her album. Song was nominated for Grammy Best Pop Duo / Group Performance, where it lost to Say Something by Great Big World and Christina Aguilera.
Say Something.
You know, it's like a really sappy piano song. Like, say something, I'm giving.
I like that song.
I hate that song.
You would.
Yeah. But before we wrap things up, I just something I want to say about the video about this also. Which again, like this goes into like my problem with a lot of pop hits in general is the video seems to me to be basically a 3.5 minute long commercial for Beats by Dre. You know, people wearing the headphones, they got those little like pill speaker boxes.
It's like the video starts with a close up on that pink speaker box.
So between that and the Mix Moscato, like this song feels like it was written specifically to sell other people's products.
Right. It's like watching a movie that is so full of product placement that it's distracting from the story.
But you'll see this in a lot of videos now, which are pretty much exclusively on like YouTube or Vimeo. Like they're commercials for cell phones. You know, you get a close up of whoever, One Direction, say, like just texting on their iPhone. LG phones. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Like this is, there's nothing of substance to it. And it's a shame. Like this is, again, this is my hipster douchebag coming out here. Mm-hmm. But it's just like,
Brad's disappointed that people are in it for the money.
I'm not. I can get behind making your livelihood, making music, and getting rich off of it. Just as long as you do something good with that money. That's another problem I have. But like, I don't know. It breaks my heart that the art of writing creatively seems to have just gone in the trash.
Right. I think that's what it comes down to with this song. You look at it and you're like, because we've already established that I like it and I would listen to it. But then I look at the lyrics and think about it for a little bit and it's like, couldn't we just do a little bit better?
We have done better.
Right.
And God willing, we will do better.
This is a beautiful message.
Let me get up on this goddamn soapbox real quick. All right. Well, I've just hurt my own heart by saying that out loud. And I don't know. Katie, you wanna grade this one?
Give it like a B. I'm on board with it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
Just as a work of poetry?
Well, you know.
As an expression?
As what it is.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty good. It's a like a upbeat pop song for three women to like really show off their voices. I mean, Nicki Minaj included, because her she's not singing, but still, like, what she does and her skills are really excellent.
She's fast. She can, you know.
Ariana Grande, Jessie J, gorgeous singers. They sound awesome. The lyrics are a little bit meh, but it's a pop song. It's fun. I think it's solid.
Solid. Ooh. Well, listen, if you want to listen to this song and just sing it out at top volume, you are more than welcome to do that whenever you want. Hopefully, I will just not be around when that happens.
You got it.
Bang, bang. All right, and with that, I guess we are done discussing Bang Bang. Can't believe this is a 5 times platinum. That really does it. This has been Decomposition Podcast. Once again, I just want to say, please, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, song suggestions, please reach out to us, decompositionpod@gmail.com, or you can find us on Twitter, @decomp_pod. Katie, anything I'm forgetting that I want to throw in here?
That sounds about right. Just if you have anything to comment on, correct, suggest, we'd love to hear from you.
All right. And with that, I just want to say to you guys, thanks again for listening, and you just chill till the next episode.